Sometimes it's very difficult to come out of a prayer, just start the engines up. Sometimes it's a little difficult. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 17. Verse 17, Colossians 3:17. The word of the Lord says, whatever you do, in a word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Let's pray and ask God to give us wisdom as we look into this verse. Heavenly Father, as we come together to look into this verse and for the preaching of your word, I pray that Lord, you would be blessed, you would be glorified in it, and that your Spirit would walk amongst us. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would open up our hearts to it, Lord, and give us the spirit of understanding. And may all that comes from my mouth be of you. And I'd ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's always an advantage to have the laws of a kingdom laid out as clearly as possible. A code of conduct that's brief, concise, and one that covers all aspects of human endeavors is a blessing to those that it governs. The great moral government of God is just one such kingdom, where the rule of action for its citizens is both brief and it's comprehensive. To begin with, in God's economy, all of morality is summed up in just 10 commandments. And they're written on 2 stone tablets. And if that weren't short enough, the Lord Jesus summarized it even more. He summarized all of the moral laws down to 2 commands. Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's really pretty simple, isn't it? Easy to understand. Something that even a child can grasp. And even these 2 commands can be shortened to only one word, love. You see, love is the essence of the law. The citizens of the kingdom of heaven are blessed to have a clear and succinct law to govern all aspects of their life. There isn't one thing in your life that isn't covered in here. As a matter of fact, it's the only book in the universe that I know of that has everything that can happen to your life in here. No other people in the world have such an easy to understand code of conduct as do the children of God. And in our text this morning, we have yet another example of the clearness, the brevity, and the comprehensiveness of God's law in guiding His children. Here we have a command by God that's applicable to every believer. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. For a believer, every action, every word, every thought, every place, and under all circumstances, under every one of those, they need to be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that may seem like quite an order to fill, But to the one who was indwelt, to the one who was empowered by God the Holy Spirit, it's really not a question of ability. It's a question of will. Do you really want to make Jesus the Lord of your life? That's the real question. To help you towards that end, we have before us a complete and concise rule for Christian living. Our text gives us a standard of morals and a guide to holiness. And it's brief, it's clear, and it's very, very easy to understand. But before we look into our text, there's something that we first have to understand. We have to understand that these verses are not written to the unconverted. They can only be claimed and practiced by the regenerate heart, the children of light, the born-again Christian who has claimed Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, you must be in Christ before you can do anything in Christ's name. John 14:6 reminds us of that. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Until the wrath of God, which is original sin, something we're all born with, is removed from your soul, and you are regenerated, you are not capable of walking or even applying this verse to your life. You can't do it. So for those of you who are listening that are not born again, this text is not for you. Before you can understand and apply these words to your life, you first need to listen to the words of Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you need to hear the words of my brother, the Apostle Paul, who told the Romans in chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. These are the verses that God would have the unregenerate listen to and claim this morning. You see, before you can walk in the cool of the day with the Lord, with Elohim, Almighty God, you must first crucify the old man that the body of sin might be destroyed. You must first be connected to the sacred tree at Calvary before you can draw the life-giving sap that comes from the root of Jesse. Only then can your barren branches bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that lasts. Our proof verse of that comes from John 15, verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, there has to be a spiritual connection between you and the Lord Jesus before our text this morning is applicable to your life. You must be made one with Christ before you can serve him. It's just that simple. But for those of you who have believed in Jesus Christ, all of you who have submitted yourselves to his government and trusted in him for salvation, our text belongs to each and every one of you. With that in mind, let's begin this morning by looking into our text and see what it means exactly to do everything in both word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. First of all, that means we are to perform our Christian duties as outlined in verse 16, the verse above it. We are to submit all that we do and say through the office and the name of our Lord Jesus. How do we know that? There's a little word between that starts off our verse. And. That's the connection, the conjunction and. And that means that all of our Christian duties are to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every day we are to offer our Father praises and thanksgiving. And it must be offered in the name of Jesus. No praise can be sweet to God, beloved, unless it is presented through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we are to abound in prayer. We are to offer the sacrifice of our lips. And we're to do it in the name of our mediator, the Lord Jesus. Paul commanded the Thessalonians, and he commands the church today, pray without ceasing. And our text tells us how to do that. We pray, first of all, by doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus. By closing our prayers with the holy name of Jesus Christ, our prayers are spiritually energized. Only then do they have the power to reach the ears of our Heavenly Father. Only then are our prayers stamped with the name of Jesus, and they have the authority to reach God's zip code, only in the name of Jesus. That's why the prayers of tares and other non-believers don't really reach heaven. They don't get there. And the reason they don't get there is because they're not spiritually powered by the name of all names, above all names, Jesus Christ. They don't have the authority of the God-man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So all the prayers of people who are not spiritually connected to Jesus by faith and by lifestyle never leave planet Earth. Yes, I have a proof verse for that. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Here Paul is talking about unbelievers, and he says, no, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And lastly, we should note that our part in prayer is to be sincere, to be humble, and most importantly, to be repentive. But it's the blood of Christ that cries out to God for us. It's not our voice. It's not our anxiety. It's not our tears. Yes, those things are important. But ultimately, it's the blood of Christ. You see, when your Father hears the name of Jesus at the end of your prayer, He looks over at the mercy seat and He sees the blood that's been spilt there for you. And that, my beloved, is what gives you access to Him and the blessings of His kingdom. We also are to serve God every day with our time and our resources. And these things also need to be done in the name of our Master, the Lord Jesus. When we offer our tithe, the first fruits of our wages, 10%, we offer it in the name of Jesus. Isn't that part of our prayer every Sunday? When we do any good works, we should do them all in the name of Jesus. When we offer anything to God, our text tells us that they are to be laid on the altar of God in the name of Jesus. And our text, right here this morning, is our proof verse. It commands us to do all in the name of Jesus. This is the primary interpretation for the first half of that text. But there's an important secondary interpretation that we should not miss. Our text says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. The first few words of that text are very comprehensive, aren't they? Whatever you do, that means everything done by a believer in their Christian walk and in their everyday life needs to be done in the name of Jesus. And all of our activities, and again, because God's economy is so succinct, it's so brief, all of the activities that any person does is summed up in two words: words and deeds. The Bible teaches us that if we are to glorify God with our lives, that means we should avoid words and conversations that dishonor Christ. We should avoid, Paul told the Ephesians, vain words. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We should avoid idle words, according to Matthew 12:16. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. And we should avoid foolish jesting. Ephesians 5:4. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Instead of those words, we must use words that glorify the Godhead. We should use words of wisdom. God has given us an entire book of wisdom. Amen? The book of Proverbs. I wonder how often we crack that book open trying to solve some of the problems in our lives. We should use that book and the words in the book to encourage, to comfort, and to build up other believers. Romans 8:31-33 are verses that we should share, that we should meditate, and we should claim as our own every day. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And lastly, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Those are words that glorify God. We should use words of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And in Acts 4:12 we read, and there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And I'm here to tell you that's the truth. And those are the words that we should be giving, saying, and also words of eternal life. These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Those are the words that we should be sharing. And the list of words that glorify God in His Word, they just go on and on and on. The second heading in our text is deeds. This refers to all of our actions. The Bible tells us that all of our actions, every single thing you do in life, should be done by faith. And if you're not doing it by faith, the Bible's very clear that it's sin. My proof verse is Romans 14:23. Very simply, very brief. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Don't you just love it when people take the Word of God and they say, well, how do you understand this and how do you understand that? How do you understand such a complicated book? Whatever is not from faith is sin. Everything. If it's not of faith, it's sin. It's simple. What that verse is saying to all believers is that every single one of us, every one of us who names the name of Christ, should live your life every day by faith. And living by faith means there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as a coincidence. Everything and every atom, every molecule, every string, as the new science goes, is under the authority of God Himself. That's why none of those things exist except in men's mind. And living by faith means whatever happens in your life, whether it's bitter or whether it's sweet, by faith you believe that it's God's providence at work. That's what it means to live by faith. We should also note that all of our deeds must be covered in prayer. Our proof verse is Philippians 4:6. Here Paul commands. He commands us to pray for everything in life. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for what? Nothing. Short. Summed up. Simple. Not rocket science. Everything. And Colossians 1:9-10, it illustrates the role that prayer plays in our spiritual walk. Paul wrote, "We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. And lastly, our deeds must be conformed to the standards of Scripture. And for many of us, this is where the rubber hits the road. 2 Corinthians 4:2 teaches us, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Paul warned the Ephesians about that in Ephesians 5:17-18. "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is sin, but be filled with the Spirit." Summed up, our daily lives should reflect the motto of this church. The Bible is our compass. Every word we speak, every act we commit, should always follow the compass heading of Scripture. And now we come to the end of the text. Whatever we do in word or deed, we are to give thanks to God. You wouldn't think that would be necessary to write down, would you? When I read that for the first time, I said, boy, even before, when I was a kid, a little child, somebody would give me something and thank you. We're to thank Him for everything. Because first of all, He's given us the strength and the ability to serve Him. We are to thank Him for the liberty that we have in Christ. Paul explained it to the Corinthians this way. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." We're to thank Him for our victory over sin and death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And here's the part I like. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. And lastly, we're to thank Him for making us the righteousness of God. Paul explains this to us in 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." You get that? These are all simple things. This is not deep theology. It's very simple to understand. And in closing, I'd like to share with you what someone has written about the name of Jesus. When I read this, it touched my heart. I pray the same would happen to you. Bad as the world is, what is good in it is due to Christ. Blot out that name and you blot out the best part of history. All that is purest in morals, elevating in literature, gentle in manners, and merciful in laws. Time weakens other forces, but time adds vigor to the work and the name of Jesus Christ. What he did for us, and above all, what he now is and does, explains it. One phrase holds it all. Simple again. He died for me, and he died for you, and you, and you, and you. He died for me. In Jesus, we have not a man dead long ago, but a living Savior and King ever near us, bearing the one name by which we may be saved. It is his presence by his Spirit in the hearts of his people, which is the motivating power of holy life. The love of Christ constraineth us. Perhaps you're listening to the message this morning, and although you know the historical Jesus, you know the name, you can't claim it because you haven't trusted him yet to save you. If you feel God's Spirit stirring your heart and you want to trust in Jesus as your Savior, see me after the service and I'll show you in his word just how much he loves you and how much he wants to call you into his kingdom. And for my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I would ask you, in the course of your day, how often do you claim the name of Jesus? How often is that sweet name of Jesus on your lips in just one day? How often? How much of your day really belongs to your Master? These are the questions I'd like you to take home with you this morning and consider. You have to be honest with yourself, because the answer that you get is very important. How often you cry out to Christ and just saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I ask in Jesus' name. Deliver me in Jesus' name." How many times do you do that every day? Answer that question carefully and consider it carefully, because the answer to that question, the importance of that answering that is because how often in the course of a day that you claim the name of Jesus is a reflection of just how important he is in your life. Take that home with you this morning and consider it. And if you don't like the answer you get, if you say, "Well, I only call on Jesus' name about 10 times in a day," don't be angry. Do something about it. Change. Don't be guilty. Do something about it. Change. And remember our text. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's pray. Father, there's nobody who's heard this message this morning, including myself, that will be able to answer that question very well. And so, Father, I pray that your Spirit would remind us each and every day to cry out in Jesus' name in all that we do, no matter how insignificant or how important the act is we're doing or the words that we're speaking. Enable us, Father, that we might glorify our Lord Jesus and glorify you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.